I don't think that anybody, a comedian or an actor of any kind, says to himself at any time, I think I'm going to develop a style. I don't think he would know how to do that. I think you just find it. Innately, there's something that you do that you find out works for you. Some comedians talk very fast. They go from one joke to another joke to another joke, maybe topical humor. Now, I discovered when I first started to talk on the stage that would not have been my style. My style was to talk on a subject and stay on the subject. We never did anything that we thought was going to last. We never framed anything. We never started anything that we said. For instance, I've never gone to my writers, and they never went to me and came to me and said, let's make you a stingy character. Let's make Love and Bloom your theme song. Let's have a feud between you and Fred Allen. See, if we'd have framed all of that ahead of time, it would have never worked out. It always started by an accident. By accident, we wrote a couple of stingy jokes, and then they got big laughs, so we each week or every third week, we would put in a few stingy jokes, and before I knew it, I was a stingy man.
By the spring of 1944, Jack Benny's cast had become its most familiar incarnation. Frank Nelson had begun to develop into Benny's nemesis.
Jack always referred
to him as his nemesis. Yeah, he says, well, the nemesis character, because, yeah, I played a variety of things, but they were all the same fella. And he never had a name, like Mr. Kitzel, you know, had a name and so on. But if he ever referred to him by name, he just called me my name, Mr. Nelson. And,
that's right.
So many people, I'd meet people on the street, you know, they say, hey, You're that fellow on the Jack Benny show. I say, yeah, what's your name? Because they really didn't know you.
Yeah.
Phil Harris was a lovable and vain drunk.
Elliot's a good writer, a good producer, and you know Leonard did all right. He later went with Lucy or somebody, did very
Danny
well.
Danny Thomas, he did a lot of stuff with.
That's right.
Sheldon
That's right.
Lennon, yeah.
Well, those guys all came up through the ranks, you know. I mean, they knew what they were doing. Because when you're around Benny, you were around a guy that he and Fred Allen and guys like that, their timing, you know, they're like Benny used to have office hours in Beverly Hills. Those writers had to be there, didn't they? They were there at a certain time. He sat at the table. Nobody took bits home like they do now. Mm-hmm. You do this and you two writers do. No way. You sat right at the table and started this thing. And I've been in there sometime. Jack and I, we really got along. And I've been in there sometime when they had a line for me to break the building down.
Mm-hmm.
And Benny would say, no, does not fit his character. I've been too long building it up. In other words, he protected. Mm-hmm. You hear a lot of other shows, they had a guy in the air one time, they had him doing this, doing that. First thing you know, they burn him out. Benny came to me one time, he said, there's no way to kill you. I found you four stories down in the basement. I brought you out, I had you married, I had you drinking, I had two kids, I had you back on the booze again. He said, there's no way to kill you.
Mel Blanc could play any character imaginable.
I more or less kept the comedy for Jack in the program. See, I did his trained caller, his violin teacher, his Maxwell, his the man who was always the salesman at Christmas time in the department store, and several other voices for Jack.
What was that famous voice then at the railroad station? I think that seems to be one of the most
Oh,
popular.
Yeah, that was the train caller. It says, train leaving on track 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga. You know, a lot of people thought those were phony towns, but those are real towns around Los Angeles.
Yeah, I found out after I made a few wrong turns since I've been out here.
One sound, I might tell you. Jack Benny was supposed to be visiting Epsom Downs in England, the horse races. And the script writers always tried to throw me with something. They tried to put something in that I couldn't do. And this time they put in, Mel Blanc does an English horse whinny. Now, how can you tell the nationality of a horse, you know? So I didn't say anything, and I waited till it came to that spot, and I did an English horse whinny that sounded like this.
Well, I guess the Benny was, that was probably your most exposure in all of radio, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yes.
Network and everything?
But the beauty of radio was the fact that you could do more than one voice. On television, where they see you, You have to more or less do just one character.
Others like Bea Benaderet, John Brown, and Sarah Berner rounded out the cast. Most importantly, Jack was known to be the exact opposite of his character.
I don't know if you realize this or not, but everybody that worked for Jack Benny when I did was exclusive. They couldn't work for anybody else. Don Wilson could never go on another show unless he got permission from Jack. Mary Livingston, his wife, couldn't. I couldn't. Rochester couldn't. Jack Benny was anything from what he portrayed. He was anything but a Scrooge. We were making so much money that we didn't know what to do with it. Enough that we didn't have to work with anybody else. And then Jack used to come to you about every 6 months and say, go to a guy by the name of Blum, at that time was his manager, and say, tell him to give you some more money. I said, Jack, I don't need any more money. I said, you got me off of the road. This is the first time I ever had a house. And he says, I know, but tell him to give you. I said, what for? All I'm doing now is, hey, Jackson, hello, Mary, here comes Rochester. I had three lines. And he used to say, go get some more money. So I'd go and tell Blum to give me some more money. The next Sunday, I'd be sitting over in the restaurant on Vine Street, and Jack would say, hey, if you got a quarter, I want to get a couple of Robert Burns cigars.
On May 14, 1944, the Jack Benny program was broadcast live at Camp Adair, Oregon.
For all you men and women in the armed forces of the United Nations, a rebroadcast of The Jack Benny Show with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Jack Benny's special guest singer, and Don Wilson.
Gentlemen, as you all know, radio is one of the world's greatest mediums of entertainment. All week long, you are entertained by your radio. On Monday, you hear
the Cavalcade of America.
On Tuesday,
it's Bob Hope.
Wednesday,
Eddie Cantor.
On Thursday,
you hear Bing Crosby.
Friday,
Amos and Andy.
On Saturday,
it's Truth or Consequences.
And on Sunday, you wait for none other than Jack Benny.
Who?
On Sunday, you listen to Jack Benny.
Look, fat boy, this is a free country. When Sunday comes around, you listen to what you like, and I'll listen to what I like.
Oh, yeah! Well, have you had enough?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't want your teeth kicked in, you better listen to Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. And fellas, it certainly is great being here at Camp Adair. Yes, sir. It's really...
Hey, Mr. Benny, can I go now?
Certainly you can go. We don't force anybody to listen to this program. If you want to hear it, we're happy. If you don't want to hear it, it's up to you. Don, untie him. Go ahead.
Okay.
There you are. You can go now.
Take the anchor off my foot, too.
Oh, get out of here.
Who was that guy, Jack?
I don't know. He told me he was a talking horse, so I thought it'd be a novelty on the program. Anyway, Don, now that he's gone, these boys have waited long enough to be entertained. So let's start out with that joke I wrote.
Oh, you mean the one about the soldier on leave?
Yeah, this'll kill him. I mean, it's made to order for these guys, you know? Oh, really, they love it. Okay, here goes. Say, Don, what's the difference between a soldier on leave and a flea on a cat's stomach?
I don't know, Jack. What is the difference between a soldier on leave and a flea on a cat's stomach?
One's on furlough and the other's on low fur. Oh, Benny, if you were any sharper, you'd cut yourself. Great gag, isn't it, Don?
It certainly is, Jack.
Yeah, it's a shame to tell that clever stuff so early in the program. But we might as well start off with a bang. It helps the... Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Hiya, fellas.
Yes, sir.
Say, Jack.
What?
As I walked in, I saw a fella come out of here, and he looked like he lost an argument with a Sherman tank.
Oh, that was some wise guy, a Mr. Fitch or somebody. He interrupted the start of the program. So Don beat him up.
Don beat him up?
Yeah. I thought I'd never get to tell that gag about the furlough and the low fur.
Jack, did you tell that joke here?
Yes, why?
Don beat up the wrong guy.
What are you talking about? When I pulled that gag, these boys screamed at it.
I know, Jack, but when they pull a hair out at the same time, that's not good.
Well, maybe you're right. Anyway, if you want to know something, I was tricked into telling that furlough joke. I didn't even write it.
Then where'd you get it?
I have a lend-lease agreement with Fred Allen. Imagine him sending me a lousy gag like that after the gem I sent him.
Gem?
Yeah, listen to this, Don. Here's the one I sent Allen. Allen says to Jimmy Wallington...
Say, Jimmy...
Ho, 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 ho.
Why does a corporal have such a tough time in the Army?
And Jimmy says, I don't know, Fred. Then Allen says...
A corporal has such a tough time in the Army...
Ho, 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 ho.
Because he already has two stripes against him.
Listen to the audience razzing Allen. It serves him right.
Jack, let me get this straight. You told Allen's joke here on the West Coast, and Allen is going to tell your joke on the East Coast?
Yeah, what about it?
I'd hate to be in Kansas City trapped in the middle.
Mary, if you don't appreciate good comedy, then there's no use of... Come in.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Here I am again.
Look, we untied you, so you... Say, what are you doing in that uniform?
I just enlisted in the Army.
You did?
Yeah, if you're a civilian, I want to be on the other side. Goodbye.
What a smart... I bet he won't last in the Army 2 hours.
Well, I hope he isn't the guy that's going to drive us back in that Jeep tonight.
Now, are we going back in one of those things?
Yeah, why?
Well, that's the way they brought me here. I was sitting in the back seat, and every time we hit a bump... Oh, brother.
What do you mean? What do you mean, oh, brother?
Don, for years, the slogan was, the Army travels on its stomach. And then somebody invented the Jeep. Well, if we're going back in the Jeep, I better have Rochester bring my overcoat. I'll call my hotel. He must be in my room packing, I think.
Hello, Hotel Benton.
Operator, this is Jack Benny. Give me my room.
Very well. Shall I wrap it up or will you eat in here?
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. I used to be a waitress at the Brass Duck.
Oh, well, get me my room. It's 425.
Yes, sir. I liked working at the Brass Duck, but I got fired for dancing with a customer.
That's too bad. Now, will you please get me my room?
We were jitterbugging, and boy, can he jitterbug.
Miss, all I want is my room. Now, will you please get it for me? It's 420...
Bad enough I got fired, but the boss accused me of stealing.
Look, miss.
Was it my fault if my foot got stuck in a cuspidor?
Now, wait a minute. I don't care anything about your job at the Brass Duck. All I want
is... Hey, you sound like the guy I dance with. What did you do with my lipstick?
Now, hold on a minute. You got the wrong party.
Oh, well, then I'm sorry I bothered you. Goodbye.
Miss, hello. How do you like that? She hung up. Oh, well, I'll call later. Was Dark Eyes, played by the orchestra. And now, fellas...
Hey, wait a minute, Jackson. Don't give me no brush off. Tell them who's orchestra.
What?
Well, let me have a little billing. Tell these soldier here's whose band that is.
Phil, I don't have to tell them. When they see 18 men wearing overalls, no shoes, and fatigued faces, they know whose band it is, believe me.
Well, I don't care about the band. I'm talking about me. You didn't give me no introduction.
Introduction?
Yeah, me, Phil Harris, the kid with $1 million personality.
Huh?
And 175 pounds of glamour.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't introduce you, Phil.
No wonder I got an inferiority complex.
Inferiority complex? You're about as shy as a hand grenade. And not only that...
Oh, Jack, why don't you leave Phil alone? It isn't his fault that he's better looking than you are.
Who said he was better looking than I am?
I did.
You did. Phil, do you mean to say that you go around telling people you're better looking than me?
No, I don't make no personal issue out of it. I just say I'm better looking than anybody.
Well, now I've heard everything. You know, Phil, you amaze me. You're the only fella I ever met that always talks about himself. Just once in a while, Phil. Once in a while, it's nice to talk about the other fellow. Get the idea?
Yeah, I think I do, Jackson, and I think you're right. Come on, let's try it. Now, I meet you on the street and you greet me.
Okay. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Jackson. Did you have a good breakfast this morning?
Yes, Phil, I had a wonderful breakfast this morning.
Well, I'm still better looking than you are.
Well, there's no use explaining anything to you.
Say, Jack.
What?
Forget about Phil. If we're going back in that Jeep, you better try and get Rochester again.
Oh, yes. I want him to bring my overcoat. Mary, you get the number. I don't want to get in another fight with that telephone operator.
Okay.
Drives me nuts anyway. Silly Jane.
Hotel Benton, will you get me room 425, please? Yes, ma'am, and you can tell Mr. Benny he's a coward. Here, Jack, she's ringing your room.
Okay, I'll take it.
Hello? Hello, temporary headquarters of Mr. Benny. Star of stage, screen, radio, and television, whether it's listening or looking, he's open for booking.
Rochester, this is Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello, boss.
Now, Rochester, they're taking us back in a Jeep, and I don't want to catch cold. So will you bring my...
But, boss, I saw you put it on when you left this morning.
My coat?
Oh, I thought you wanted your hair.
I wanted my coat. It'll be cold.
Then you better take your hair, too. It's got earmuffs.
Only when I part it in the middle. Now bring my coat. Bring my coat over here right away.
But, boss, I got a date. Besides, you promised me I could have this Sunday off.
Sunday off. Look at these soldiers here. They work every day in the week.
Yeah, but look at the dough they're getting.
They're not getting much more than you are. But if you want our household run on a military basis, it's all right with me.
It's part military now.
Rochester, you're just making that up.
Not the military part. Remember when we were home and you locked me in the guardhouse for 10 days?
Yes. What are you laughing at?
If you didn't have to come in every morning to wash up, I'd have never got out.
Never mind that and bring my overcoat here right away.
Okay, General. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, that Rochester. Tell you, if he wasn't a private, I'd demote him. And now, in keeping with the spirit of the day, the boys have selected one soldier to represent them on our program. And he's going to sing a song for us. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Private First Class Luther Balliet of the 276th Infantry.
Yeah!
What's the number going to be, Luther?
I'm going to sing "It's a Lovely Way to Spend an Evening."
Not in Corvallis. It'll go right ahead. Anyway, go right ahead. An evening sung by Private First Class Luther Belliot. And very good, Luther. It was a great pleasure having you with us.
Thank you, Mr. Benny.
And I want to tell you something, Luther. You're in a great outfit and a great branch of the service. The good old infantry. If I was a year or two younger, the infantry is the branch of the service I'd like to be in. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah? Tell them what happened when they let you go marching yesterday. Well...
Go on, Jack. Tell Luther.
Oh, Mary, he's not interested.
Well, then I'll tell him.
Mary, will you please...
Listen, Luther, Jack wanted to show how rugged he was, so he asked the sergeant if he could march with the soldiers.
Mary, now will you please...
We all went along because we wanted to see how Jack could take it. We were out with for about a half an hour and...
Life. Nothing like a good hike.
Yeah, we must have gone about 6 miles and I don't even feel tired. How about you, Jack?
Oh, I feel fine, except that my shoes are beginning to bother me.
Really?
Yeah, I wonder where I left them.
Why, Jack, I didn't even notice you weren't wearing shoes. When did you take them off?
When his archers fell and sent out an SOS.
I didn't take my shoes off. They just dropped behind. Here they come now. Halt! Here. Help me out with them, Rochester.
Okay.
Hey, you. Benny.
Yes, sir?
Why don't you keep up with the company? This is the third time we've had to come back for you.
Well, I'm sorry, but I got a little tired.
Well, it's your own fault. You shouldn't have tried to march with these young men.
Wait a minute. Are you insinuating that I'm old?
That's what he said. That's what the man said. He said that.
Rochester, stop helping him.
All right, let's get going. All right, catch! 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4,
going to go on.
Come here! Help! All right, man. Fall out. Rest period.
Thank heaven it's about time. Come on, Mary. Let's find a soft spot to sit down.
Okay.
Here's the place. Ah. Oh, boy, this feels good.
All right, everybody. Up on your feet, man.
Give me a chance to get my breath, will you?
I'll run ahead and stop them.
Oh, let them go. We can find our way back to camp.
Oh, Jack, let's not turn back. This is fun.
Fun?
Certainly, yeah. Jack. We ought to keep hiking a little more. Walking is good for the figure.
It is not good for the figure.
It is, too.
Oh, yeah? Well, there are 10 million soldiers in the American Army who go out on 20-mile hikes every week, and not one of them looks like Lana Turner. Now, let's get back, will you? Come on, follow me, will you, fellas?
We should have stuck with the soldiers, Jack. Now we're lost.
Yeah, I wonder where that trail is. We're either in the jungle or in the middle of Corvallis here. Let's try this direction. That ought to take us somewhere.
Roll him out, brother, you're faded.
Rochester! Rochester, get up, that's a rattlesnake. Rochester, I told you that's a rattlesnake.
So what? His money's as good as anybody.
Stop acting so silly. It'll be dark soon, and we won't be...
Oh, look, Jack. There's a soldier over there in that clearing.
Oh, yeah. Hey, soldier! Soldier!
Yes, sir?
How do we get to Camp Adair?
Just take that trail to the left.
Thanks. Come on, gang. Hey, everybody, come over here and take a look at this sign. Sign? What does it say?
I don't know, but I think it's in English.
Here it is. It says infiltration course. What does that mean?
Huh?
What does that mean, Jack?
I don't know. I guess it's army talk for shortcut. Let's go through it. Follow me, kid. Follow me.
Hey, those are bullets.
Yeah, are we being shot at?
I don't know, boss. Let's lie down until we talk it over.
I wonder who... Down, everybody, down. Flat on your stomach. Wilson, lie down.
I am lying down.
You make less of a target that way. Say, this must be the course where they train the soldiers with live ammunition. Rochester, stand up and see where they're firing from.
I ain't that curious.
Those soldiers don't know we're here. I'll stand up and let them see me.
They saw you. I better stand up and let them see me.
They see you. They see you, Mary. Hey, look, they're waving at us. Hey, there go the soldiers we started out with. They're on their way back to camp. Come on, let's join them. Come on, gang. Follow me.
The Jack Benny Show is rebroadcast especially for you soldiers, sailors, marines, and coast guardsmen of the United Nations. Now we turn the remainder of the program over to the Benny Bandmaster, Phil Harris. Music, Phil.
Man alive, it starts with the bugler blowing.